Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, artists, marketers, entrepreneurs, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I have with me a man named Sifu Foggy. Got it right, buddy.
Yep.
Who is a Taoist, a Qigong master, and a Reiki healer. He focuses on how we can blend these three practices into a way for supercharging the body, mind, and spirit so as to avoid burnout. So if you wouldn't mind, Sifu Foggy, if you would just kind of give us a brief introduction into how you arrived at being Sifu Foggy and why you're so passionate about these three particular practices.
Certainly. My name is Sifu. Sifu means guide, muse, somebody who points you along the way, guides you on that path. Foggy is my healing name, it's my spiritual name, my martial art name, and it actually means the balancer between the chaos and the calmness. And I've been studying what I do for the last 37 years, and the name Foggy is all these different practices that I've studied, because my teachers believed everything you learn enhances everything else you do, and there should always be a balance between the yin, the divine feminine, the yang, the masculine, and balancing it together to create what is known as Tai Chi, which is a lot of people think this symbol is yin yang, but it actually represents Tai Chi, and it's the balance of the feminine, the masculine, it's balance of the heaven and the earth. So what I do is help people supercharge themselves to ensure they never burn out. And that was my teacher's goals. I started off around about 12 years old, and I was bullied as a kid, and started doing martial arts. And one of the first martial art I started doing, I actually the adjudicators for the different belts ended up seeing me, speaking to my family, and sort of saying, I would like to teach him. I want to teach him Qigong, and Qigong means energizing exercise or energy exercise or breath work. So it's any exercise that can generate energy in mind, body, and spirit. One of the little jokes, like we sort of say, is that a lot of people see like martial arts, they see martial arts as fighting. Martial arts means personal development. It's the martial, the practice, and the art, the spirituality, the connectiveness. So it's actually about more about mind, body, and spirit. And in actual fact, in the East, they say the three M's. So martial, which is fitness, fitness or self-defense, and meditational. Meditation simply means focus on one thing and forget everything else, and which also leads to spirituality. And medical is self-healing. So true martial arts is a healing art, is a spiritual art, and it is a martial or fitness art. So it's balancing all three. And so, yeah, my teachers were Taoists, and the Taoist in... Yeah, a lot in the West, we tend to see certain things like Buddhism and Taoism as religions. But religion is from the Latin word religio, which means bond with the God, the being, the separate being. But Buddhism and Taoism are actually more philosophies. They're more about understanding the universe, coming from the Latin word philo, which is love of knowledge, love of learning. So both Buddhism and Taoism are actually more about connecting and learning about how things work and understanding everything is collective consciousness. Everything is oneness. So the Taoist point of view is this mind, body, and spirit. It's this the fitness side or the physical side, the martial, the medical side or the self-healing side, and then the meditational side, the spiritual side. So what we teach, or what I teach, is a little bit of Qigong. And Qigong, you can do Qigong while you're ironing, you do Qigong while you're in a standing pose, you can do Qigong laying down. It's a technique, it's a way of doing a technique. A little bit of meditation, which again, meditation, people don't realize, you can go fishing and that's a meditation. You can read a book and you're meditating. You can stare out at the stars and you're meditating, because meditation simply means to allow the subconscious to opening up to the subconscious, focusing on one thing and forgetting everything else. And a little bit of stretching. So in Taoism, stretching is called Nei Gong, or Taoist yoga, so stretching techniques. And when you look at the animal kingdom, say like your pet, your cat or your dog, your when they wake up in the morning, first thing they do, they stretch, they do their yoga, their Nei Gong. Then they sort of like, at some point, they stare out into space. They just, sit there looking blankly. They're doing a form of meditation. And finally, cats and dogs and animals tend to have a mad half hour where they start doing weird exercises and running up the curtains or up the walls. And that's a form of Qigong. It energizes them. They get all this burst of energy. Look at a child. A child does the same, same thing. Toddlers running around, we get worn out and they still got full of energy. So my main philosophy is that if you can do a little bit every single day, and I'm not necessarily talking about hours in your day, you could find 15 minutes out of your 24 hours, 15 minutes of splitting that into three, more would be better, but splitting that into three, so 5 minutes of each, would allow you to increase your health and well-being. It would improve your ability to focus, to connect with the universe. And it's all about that. Even just a simple 15 minutes of meditation, of Qigong and stretching, and I actually know techniques that can put all three together. 15 minutes every single day. After a couple of weeks, that becomes a habit. For starters, just like brushing your teeth or washing your face. And the whole point is that 15 minutes builds up into a domino effect of building up your energy. So your energy of mind, body and spirit, and balancing that body. So you become Tai Chi.
Well, fantastic. So how is it that you arrived at combining these three? Was this something that you were taught? Was this something that was more like the Taoist idea of flow and embodying your own individual way? How did this happen for you?
For me, my teachers very much taught this as the Taoist way. So the principle of that a little bit every single day builds mm-hmm. up. But then within that, there has to be this balance between the masculine and the feminine. There has to be this balance between mind, body and spirit. So it was something, the way I was taught was a little bit different to how I teach. So the way one of my sifus was, we sort of mentioned off air, but sort of like Zen masters. So one of my sifus was very much like a Zen master, is that if you ask too many questions, or if you didn't practice enough, or boom, you got, and at 12 it was a short shot whack. By the time I got to 26, it was hit with a steel bar. Now everybody hears that and goes, oh my god, oh, so violent and so bad. But it's the whole point of, think of like the Matrix, is that he taught me how to be hit. He taught, in judo, the first thing you learn is how to be thrown. So when you learn how to throw, it doesn't hurt. When you if anybody who's ever seen the Jackie Chan, like the Drunken Master, which Drunken style is one of my favorite styles, is the first thing you learn is, if you relax your body as you get hit, your body doesn't actually receive any damage. Now that same technique is that if you're in a car accident, and I've been in one or two, if you actually can relax, you're less likely to actually suffer physical injury, because our body, or our brains at least, think the opposite. We think, oh, we have to brace, and you tense, and when you tense up, it affects the body. So this, from his violence, from his boom hitting me, I learned how to adapt to the world, allowed to, you know, when a big wave comes, if you relax into the wave, you go with the flow, the wave, you know, takes you, and you get a little bit bruised maybe, but you're fine. But if you tense at it, when you hit by that wave, it can break bones, it can, you know, damage tendons and muscles. So it's learning. It was his way of teaching. My other teacher, his brother, was more a bit like the Happy Buddha. So he's more like this guy, had a big belly and always laughing and always take the mickey, and he taught a different style. And from those two styles, I learned that, and also learning advanced learning techniques. So back in the 90s from Tony Buzzin and those sort of people, learning how people learn and learning different ways to learn. I learned, and the true philosophy of the Tao is that you have to find your own personal flow, your own personal way. So as a Sifu, my goal is to help you find that way, help you find your personal path. Because how I learn is not how you know, most people wouldn't like a teacher like I had, or on one side, and probably would prefer the one on the other. But it's how I learn. I learn from those two extremes, hence my name. Bogi means the balancer between the chaos and the calmness. So I had one teacher of one style and one teacher of the other. And, you know, I learned to adapt to those situations. And the whole point of the Tao is, again, it's not a religion, it's a way of being, it's a way of living. In fact, George Lucas actually based the Jedi on Taoism, on Tao, the whole Taoist philosophy. What Yoda said and all of that is actually things that Buddha and Lao Tzu, or Lao Tzu, as somebody say, the Tao Te Ching, so one of the Taoist philosophers, it's the sort of things they would say about adapting, endearing, and, you know, understanding. And the master, or the Sifu, has failed more times than the student has tried. And so, you know, this understanding of this knowledge and this ancient wisdom, and adapting to nature, not just the nature out there, but the nature in, you know, you have your own personal nature, your own character. You know, the whole point of this, you know, there's the intuition. So the dark side is the divine feminine, the intuition that you need to meditate. You need to shut up. You need to listen to your intuition. You have to be quiet to listen to your intuition. The yang side, the divine masculine, can also be the ego. So that very, don't go and meditate. Go and watch, you know, 15 hours of TV, or go and eat some burritos, or, you know, go and do something else. And monkey mind, as we call it, monkey mind tends to actually want to run around in circles and keep you busy, where the intuition, you need to be still and you need to be quiet. And you do need a little bit of both, hence the martial art side, or the martial side is to quell the ego. The monkey mind is you give it things to do. But then you need to do the meditation and the stretching, which allows the intuition side to balance. And the stretching actually is sort of like the bridge between the two. So when you stretch the body, Nei Gong is strengthening, so you release tension within your body, you release the emotional side, but you're also balancing the body through meditation, you're balancing the body through physical fitness. So this is why we sort of say about this balance between a little bit of qigong, energizing exercise, a little bit of shengong, or meditational exercise, a little bit of neigong, or strengthening exercise. All three of them allow you to be more balanced. Because the interesting thing I found, not with, I know a lot of very good yoga practitioners, and I've met one or two who have actually said that, you know, doesn't matter how much they stretch, they never feel stretched enough. And say, try this, and gave them some qigong exercises. And I've known some, you know, really, really good qigong, yoga practitioners. But they've said, it's it, for them, they found the Qigong and the Neigong interesting because it took them to the next level. They would, you know, they still very much are firm believers of yoga, but the Qigong took them to that new level, to the next level, which was really interesting. And it's this balance of, you know, like the thing with very spiritual people is sometimes they're, you know, out in the universe and they explore the universe, but if you don't stay grounded at the same time, you're not going to pay the bills or keep your partner happy or remember to feed the cat. You know, you have to have that balance between the mind, the body, the spirit, and you have to have that balance between the feminine and the masculine with your male, female, dog, cat, banana. You know, everything has a feminine side and a masculine side, and that's the, you know, from now we're in the age of Aquarius, now we're in the golden age. Since 2012, we've moved, even physically, our solar system has moved into this more divine energy that's raising our consciousness moment by moment. And that's why more and more people are waking up and we're realizing we need to find our own personal balance, you know, our own personal Tao, our own personal Tai Chi.
So I think what most people fail to understand is that Buddhism and Taoism, which is actually the combination of Mahayana Buddhism and, I mean, Zen, which is a combination of Mahayana Buddhism and Taoism, don't actually teach anything. It's not the process of teaching you to do something. It's the process of what you take away to reveal the true self that is underneath, ultimately being the understanding that we are all the same self. So how does utilizing Qigong help you arrive at that place of Taoism where you realize that it's all the same self playing behind the masks of God?
Well, if I was to be a real Sifu, the answer would be yes. But what happens is that in the West, we think that things, you know, like we try to understand things through language. Mm-hmm. And that's like trying to put a river through the eye of a needle. You know, it's almost impossible. And what, you know, even in the 60s and 70s and 80s, when they would first started talking about Buddhism and Taoism, it was scholars which would have books of information trying to describe the undescribable. And the first thing in the Tao Te Ching, one of the first things it says is the Tao that can be named is not the true Tao, which confused everybody and frustrated everybody. But what it's saying is in essence of a child. If you ask a child to explain how a car works, they will explain in a childlike way. So as a human on a tiny little rock spinning in space on a tiny little galaxy amongst billions of galaxies in this great big universe, how the freaking hell are we meant to explain the oneness itself, the universe and beyond? So what these different exercises do is that, you know, they give you have the scriptures, the words, and you have, you know, these poems, but then what's actually meant to happen, and this is why a lot of Western scholars struggled, because if you're not doing the exercises, you're not doing the meditation, you're not doing the stretching, which are other ways of actually explaining that information, then you're only getting one small tiny part. It's a very interesting thing, like in the Reiki that was shown in the West, because I'm actually a dragon dog shaman, I've done both Eastern and Western Reiki, and Reiki in the East is you know, you get the information as people know, but you also get Qigongs, or in Japan they're called Qigong. So they get energizing exercises that help. So when you get your reishu or empowerment or attunement or Qi Shendao or Qi Blast, as we nickname them, when you get that empowerment, you have an exercise that increases that energy. Then the interesting thing, when people see the symbols, what they don't realize, a little bit like behind me you have the Flower Life, and that's actually my show logo, and the Flower Life, for starters, is not 2D. It's 64 spheres, not circles, spheres. Mm-hmm. 64 spheres that are interlocked together, and they look, and they actually become like a weird square. And that 64, when you meditate on that, and when you actually get that these actually move within themselves, and they actually become the Torah field. And the Torah field, or the donut, and the Torah field is like the divine feminine energy. Now there's actually a reverse. The reverse of that is the Merkaba or Merkaba or tetrastarhedron, 64 pyramids, 64 interlocking pyramids, is the complementary yang to the yin of that. So those symbols that you see are actually something far more interdimensional. They're actually trying to describe a frequency, a tone. So each qigong, for example, you do, has a feeling, has a tone. It's a finger pointing in a certain direction. It's trying to teach you a certain thing. But also at the same time, physically, it can help your back, or it can improve your backhand in tennis, or it can help reduce your migraines, or it can help you sleep better. So everything is something else. It's almost like a Rubik's cube. If you look at Rubik's cube only from one side, one dimension, or well, 2D, you only see a square. But when you actually turn it, you actually see, oh, it's more than one square, and each square is a different color. And if you start playing around with it, all those colors are intermingled into different colors, and they can do different things. So the point is that there are, to understand the universe, you have to see it from different points of view, and different points of view, and those different points of view interact with different things, and everything is a reflection of something else. So an exercise is actually a metaphor for a physical thing, an emotional thing, and a spiritual thing, because everything is more than one thing, if that makes sense.
It does, which is also kind of the concept of language, is it not? That we're going to allow this sound to represent something that just is, and that's why the Tao cannot be named, correct?
For example, so I have a Tai Chi Warhammer, you know, this hammer, has the Tai Chi symbol on both ways. How do I describe it? Well, I can just say, oh, well, it's a cloth hammer, but this cloth inside, there is material inside this cloth. There is different dyes that made the cloth. Inside that cloth, there's atoms that make up that cloth. And all those atoms, each one of those atoms has enough energy itself to power a city. And you know, that if you put all the energy together, you could change this energy into a different thing, and this the energy in this hammer itself could evaporate all the oceans on the planet. I mean, and I'm still not describing it enough. You know, there's so much in this one thing, the metaphors of the symbols, the metaphor of a hammer. You know, the fact that you can, it's fun, you can hit somebody with it and not hurt them, and you can have a game with it. Or, you know, you make a hard one and you knock nails into it. There's so much that you're trying to describe. This is the thing, we got so used to looking and focusing on the words. And a lot of people like using very complicated words or try to get really in-depth. You know, I love quantum physics, because quantum physics actually is, especially quantum physics, is actually clarifying ancient knowledge and ancient understandings. But the ancient ones used a whole different language to the language of quantum physics. Which one's wrong? Which one's right? Or they just both are? You know, is that it doesn't, you know, to a degree, it doesn't matter that, you know, what words you use or how you use them, as long as you're getting the point, you're understanding the point of view. If you're not understanding the point of view, you're probably talking too much, or you need to find a different way to express that information. So as a Taoist, we tend to try to point in different ways. You know, there's so many ways to express the same thing. There's so many ways to do the same thing. Like, you know, my way, I can do 18 hours as a healer and do 18 hours of massage and not break sweat and be perfectly fine. And then... And yeah, I've done it. That's my record. 18 hours of non-stop massage at a camp. And then I did a couple of hours of drinking and then went to sleep and then did it all over again. You know, if you're at a camp and there's loads of mead, you've got to drink. I mean, you know, but I only drink a couple of times of the year. You know, this is the other thing. And when I talk about drunken Qigong, people think, oh, that means you're... Drunken is actually a metaphor. It means this whole ability of being able, you know, like a spinning top.
Yes.
You know, and you adapt this. So drunken Qigong is metaphorical. It's not actually drinking, though sometimes that helps, but it's actually more of a metaphorical thing. And so, yes, so the point is that my system creates this unlimited energy. If you can find your own personal system that does exactly the same thing, awesome, cool. You don't have to do my way, but you need to find your way. You know, a way is your way. Well, whatever works for you, that's what I'm not concerned, but that's what I want. I want to help people find their own personal way. Whether it's exactly what I do, I don't care. Mm. No offense meant by that, but it's not down to me how you find your way. It's just down to me to help you find it.
That is so powerful. I want to thank you so much for being with me here today, Ubagi. I would like to thank some of our viewers, Stephen, Misty, Andrea, Susan, Becky, Samantha, who's, I believe, still on us, and Samantha was really excited about that latter part of the discussion. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here today. If you come by and you catch this video after we're no longer live, drop us a hashtag replay and let us know that you were here. And if you heard something from Sifu Bagi that you would like further clarification on, or if you would like to get a hold of him and speak to him, his personal profile is tagged in this video. His website is in this video. The link to his Facebook group is in this video. So any and all ways that you could possibly need to affect contact or connection with him are available on this live. And I do hope that you will avail yourself of those things. So as always, guys, you know, I love you. We'll be back here on Monday, same place, same time. Namaste, my friend.